Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I'm speaking with Mike Nalin. He's the CEO of CellCube Energy Systems, which trades on the Canadian Securities Exchange, stock symbol CUBE, and over-the-counter CECBF. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So can you tell us about the energy storage market and CellCube's role in that space?
Sure. I guess just as sort of a leading statement, CellCube is the leading worldwide supplier of vanadium redox flow batteries based on our vanadium redox flow battery technology. And as to the energy storage market, it in itself is massive, and in fact, the predicted growth for energy storage and the deployment of capital into the energy storage markets is also absolutely massive. There's a statistic from Bloomberg New Energy Finance that talks about $130 billion going into this sector by 2030, so really over the next 10 and a bit years. So you've got, a really proven technology that CellCube has being dovetailed into an absolutely massive market at this time. So there's really, really great potential here.
What is, in case, people don't know, what is vanadium, what are these vanadium batteries and what makes them different than other technologies out there?
Sure. Well, I guess the first thing to say is this is really just a really large battery. And it is the applications for it are really at an industrial grid scale level. So this is not, something, a battery that you would use for mobile applications, in your cell phone or your electronics, or even for an electric vehicle, as you would typically find with a lithium battery. This is a grid scale industrial sized, can be scaled up in the size of megawatts, flow battery. The vanadium itself is the key secret ingredient, I guess would be the best way to describe it. Vanadium is a metal, and it is used in an electrolyte solution that literally flows through the battery. I won't get into the technical aspects of it, but it is the properties of vanadium itself which allow for the battery in order to both charge and discharge on such a large scale.
And who are the typical customers for one of these batteries?
Sure. Well, because they're of such scale, and the other thing I should point out, and again, as comparison to lithium, the capacity of these batteries in terms of the duration to both charge and discharge is much longer than a lithium battery. These batteries can provide discharge for 4, 6, 8 hours. They can be scaled up into a much more sizable megawatt range as well. Lithium batteries in their typical application, at least on a grid scale, they typically don't go beyond 2 hours, maybe in the 2 to 4 hour range. But what we're really seeing is an evolution in the market for this longer term duration for energy storage, 4, 6, and 8 hours. Coming back to that, to the customers themselves, so the kinds of customers who would use energy storage for these applications is really going to be utilities, your independent power producers, and renewable developers, parties who are developing their own solar or wind farms as well. And then, there's other large commercial users who would have applications for this as well, particularly for, either a distributed energy system or a microgrid.
Okay, and so the value proposition for the customer using one of these batteries is what?
Well, look at it this way, particularly in the context of renewable power. One of the attributes of renewable power is simply that it's intermittent. Both wind and solar, you can't always capture the power when the sun shines through solar PV. The same is true for wind. You can't always capture it when the wind blows, nor do you always need it when the wind is blowing, or there's, you know, intermittent periods when you don't need the power, but the wind is blowing or the sun is shining. So energy storage provides the capacity to offset this intermittency of the delivery of renewable energy. And so what that means is, for instance, you could take solar, use part of that power during the day when demand is steady or low, but use it to charge up the battery itself, and then keep it and discharge it later when the demand curve is much higher and much stronger, back in the evening hours when everyone's coming home during rush hour or preparing their meals or so on. So you get the capacity not just in order to capture more renewable power than would otherwise be available, but you also are able to arbitrage between the pricing for power because you can store it when it's cheap and you can discharge it and sell it when it's expensive.
Okay. And what are these, you know, what are these sell for, these batteries? I saw some pictures on your site. They're roughly the size of what is it, a 20-foot shipping container or a 40-foot shipping container?
Sure. So that would be, you know, our standard unit would be a 250 kilowatt, 1,000 megawatt hour or kilowatt hour product. And that would provide 4 hours duration storage. And that, as a just a typical unit, just the box itself, we would, you know, it can be scaled into much larger sizes simply by adding additional containers to the unit itself. But just for our basic one, it would sell for about $500,000 or so. That wouldn't include some of the additional equipment and gear that's required for the installation and connection. But typically you're looking at a box in and around that much. So call it, that's Canadian dollars, call it $300,000 or $400,000 US.
Okay, and how does your product compare to you know, some competitors out there?
Well, one of the most striking things about our company is that the energy storage aspect of the business has been operating for over 10 years, and that means we already have 130 installations in 24 different countries. So what we have is a proven and mature technology for grid-scale energy storage. When we discuss our competitors, there's really two bases by which we can draw a distinction, and that is on this track record of proven technology. We've been through the bumps in the road that many others have not and have yet to sort of determine. And so we can actually point to existing installations where there's over 10,000 cycles on the system itself. And, you know, when people talk about vanadium flow batteries lasting 25, 30 years even, we've already got that on the track record to show it over 10 years. The other aspect is really cost. Having worked these systems now for such a period of time, we believe that we're competitive on a direct cost basis, not just only to other competitors in the flow battery space, but specifically as against a proposition by lithium-based batteries as well.
Okay. Now, you have a couple of different aspects to the company. I guess it's, you have sort of a vertically integrated strategy, which is
sure.
What I saw in your presentation. So can you kind of, you know, share sort of, you know, some color of what that looks like, and, you know, then talk about the revenues for those
sure.
divisions?
There's really three components to the business. And the first is the fact that we own a vanadium deposit in Nevada. And this resource, there's a 43-101 resource estimate on the property, which shows indicated resources of about 12 million tons of vanadium pentoxide. So again, this gets back to the prime ingredient used in the energy storage system itself. And that part of the business simply means that we, on a vertical integration basis, it means we already have the main resource that is used in energy storage systems. So that being said, we are planning to spin that out as a separate listed entity with a record date of November 30th. And the reason for that is that we would have a much, this is not a producing mine as of yet. It needs to be developed. And we would expect to have a much different shareholder base for those who are looking as a direct play on a vanadium asset than for what is now a pure technology company in the context of providing energy storage systems. However, we're going to retain almost a 20% equity interest in the resource and have an offtake agreement so that we have long-term supply at a reasonable cost for the vanadium for our energy storage systems themselves. So that's one side of the business. And I mentioned that record date as of November 30th, because it means if you invest in the company right now, before November 30th, you are able to participate in the share distribution on the spin out of the vanadium asset itself. Second, we have, which is also not typically known, is we have an entire operating subsidiary known as Enercube, which provides switchgear equipment. And you can think of switchgear equipment as the switchgear or equipment that is necessary for connectivity to the grid, except on an industrial scale. So if you think about the breakers in your home or a breaker panel, this would be the same kind of switchgear and housing, electrical housing, except on an industrial scale and for different applications where you've got variable frequencies and motor control systems and things like conveyor belts and things that change frequency of power. That business also has been operating on its own for over 10 years, but it provides quite robust contracts. We had a recent master services agreement through Enercube with Pembina Pipelines, which I just used as an example of part of the standalone business for this operating entity. However, it fits into the scheme of energy storage because you do need switchgear as part of your installation of energy storage. And our folks out at Enercube in Edmonton can also do the installation of our energy storage systems in North America, as well as the operation and maintenance. And they're starting to be a North American sales channel by referring potential customers to us as well. So this fits very nicely into the overall business. And then finally, what we've been discussing about is Enerox, the energy storage business itself, based in Austria. We have about 30 employees there, and the manufacturing facilities are just outside of Vienna. And that is the operating subsidiary that has been producing the 130 installations in 24 countries that I referred to earlier, and which now is ready to launch our fourth generation of the energy storage system at 250 kilowatts or 1,000 kilowatt hours.
Okay, and what kind of revenues is the company generating right now?
Yeah, so right now on a revenue basis, most of the revenues have been coming out of our switchgear business. I would say, rather than referring to our total revenues for the year, because we acquired the Enerox energy storage business in April of this year, and that's around the same time we also acquired the Enercube switchgear business. So we're just in the process of preparing our consolidated audit statements for 2018, showing year-end and revenues for the year. What I will say is that the bulk of the revenues have been coming out of our switchgear side. So about $18 million, with energy storage being around $3 million, and typically just looking at for 2018, looking at a little bit of a cash burn coming into the year. But what is really of note is our forecasting for 2019. There's a fairly lengthy sales process in order to sell these units. It's really 6 to 12 months or so. And so having just acquired the energy storage business in April, we're really just hitting our stride now on the sales beginning to ramp up on the energy storage side of the business. So for 2019, we're actually projecting from the energy storage business itself about $50 million worth of sales, and from the switchgear business about $36 million. So that takes us up to about $86 million, and projecting about $18 million of EBITDA based on meeting those forecasts. Now, those are pretty ambitious targets. I will comment specifically on our sales pipeline coming into Q4 and into next year. If we took every contract, or excuse me, potential contract that we are writing proposals for or have received at least, have at least exchanged some information in connection with the proposal, you know, we would value that entire sales pipeline at about $1 billion. If we put a weighted probability analysis to the whole sales pipeline, we you know, by this I mean if we take each of the contracts and give it some weight as to the likelihood that we'll actually get to closure on it, we put the value of that pipeline at about $100 million or so. So that's coming into next year. And within that $100 million, there's about 48 really active proposals being looked at right now. Just to give you a sense of the activity under our sales group. And they tend to be large scale projects, 5 or 10 megawatts. And we really only need to land one or two of those in order to meet our sales forecast for next year. Now, we can't actually predict how those sales are going to arrive. They may be a little bit lumpy. There might come in context of smaller ones coming in rather than just a big one. But we feel fairly confident that we will be able to secure these larger orders and that we're going to be able to meet these forecasts on that basis.
Okay. So, Mike, so essentially you're saying that CellCube for 2019, well, actually, let me finish up. For 2018, you're on track to do roughly $21 million in revenues. Is that right?
Yeah, I want to just sort of check that statement because, as I said, we are just coming out shortly with our audited numbers on which would actually provide a year end as of June 30th. So cautionary, that's just sort of an estimate of where I think we're coming out this year. And I don't have them in front of me, so I'm just drawing that from memory.
Okay. And for 2019, this is when you actually start selling these large-scale systems. You're expecting roughly $100 million in sales. How now? Who you have? So you have a bunch of these proposals out there. What would you say is the kind of conservative? So you're saying that's a conservative probability of that happening?
Well, I'm saying you start with a sales pipeline of all potential contracts out there. If you added them up, that'd be worth close to $1 billion, right? Putting a weighted probability on them, and you know, we don't really have the time to go through the analysis of how we put a probability weighting on them.
Okay.
But you know, roughly, we're saying you reduce that value by to a tenth as to the likelihood of the contracts that we think we'll get coming in. So we're saying it's really worth probably about $100 million, but we're within that 2019 period, we think that we can meet in just the energy storage business about $50 million of that. Remember, $36 million is from the projected contracts for the switchgear business on a standalone basis.
Okay.
So a big component of the overall, at least in 2019, we expect that to be a very big component of the
okay.
Of the overall sales, so again, around $85 million sales.
Okay, but $50 million plus for the storage.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's $50 million again. Looking at a weighted basis of the sales pipeline of $100 million, on an unweighted basis, you know, $900 million to $1 billion or so.
Okay, and these are actually contracts that are or actually proposals, I should say, that are out there, and you're expecting them to start closing in the months ahead?
Yeah, idealistic, we could have some of these in Q4. We're already into late October, so I think Q1, Q2 is probably a better estimate.
Okay, so there's going to be basically some news flow over the next 3 to 6 months where, you know, I guess investors can, you know, track.
Correct.
See how things are going. Okay.
Yeah. And that's, you know, when you look at our market price and what's been happening with the share price lately, that's what the market's waiting to see from us. And not that we haven't had sales. We have had sales this year since we acquired the assets in April. We've had three different systems including a recent one to E.ON, a German-based utility, and this was for a community microgrid project in southern Sweden. So the news is out, and we are making these sales. But for larger ones and for continued execution, that is definitely what the market is waiting to see from us.
Okay. And you mentioned the spinoff of the vanadium property. I saw there was a news release on that. So just if you can summarize how that transaction will work and what it's going to mean for shareholders going forward.
Okay. So for shareholders who are, if you're a shareholder before November 30th, that means we're going to spin out the entity by doing a share distribution essentially at a 1-to-2 ratio. So you'll get one share in the new spun out property for every two shares that you hold in the CellCube entity right now. So that's the general description of it. We'll confirm that prior to closing as being the ratio for distribution because it's a little bit of a moving target, particularly in the context of vanadium prices really ramping up, not just recently, but in the past year. So it's really an ideal time to participate in a vanadium investment. And it's a great way to do it by virtue of this spin out, because it means you can both invest in CellCube as a company and have a call option on our vanadium asset in Nevada by participating in the spin out itself, since you'll receive shares if you're currently a shareholder in it.
The vanadium market. It's a very hot market right now.
It's a very hot market right now. So I do think it's a very opportune time in order to participate.
Give a little background, what is the company's, financial structure look like now? I mean, you've been doing some financings recently and, what would be your capital needs going forward?
Yeah. So we're actually in the middle of a private placement right now. It is for accredited investors only, but it is open. We're hoping to close it quite soon. And there is, we have an over-allotment provision. We're raising $4 million with potentially for an over-allocation of $1 million. So I do mention that because that pretty much exemplifies our current capital needs right now. And this is really for the purposes of bridging the time until the revenues ramp up from the energy storage business. That being said, we have good contracts coming into Q4 out of the switchgear business for it to be revenue producing and EBITDA positive going into next year. So we do see that as overall being a contributor. Part of the working capital that we're raising right now is simply just to bridge that time into the sales cycle for the energy storage systems. I will also point out we are going to use some of that money also just to increase our sales force, simply because we're almost being overwhelmed by the number of inquiries as to proposals for the energy storage systems coming in unsolicited. And we need more people who have both the technical ability to write up those contracts and to service the potential customers.
And so you expect the company, to summarize, you expect the company to be profitable in 2019?
Is that correct?
Right? Okay.
Yes, well profitable in 2019.
Okay, yeah. And I think in your presentation you had an EBITDA, it mentions an EBITDA of roughly $18
million. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, what are the terms of the private placement that you're doing right now?
Okay, so it's, as I said, for accredited investors only, it's at 15 cents. It comes with a half warrant exercisable at 30 cents. Warrants are for 3 years. And I would note that the current share price, as of today, at least, was around 21 cents. So again, it's a pretty opportune terms for participating in the company.
Okay, so a little bit of a discount. Now, how many shares will be outstanding after the assuming the private placement closes?
Okay. I haven't done the math yet. Okay. There's about 138 million on the currently outstanding.
Okay.
So what's that, about 26 million for? Anyway, it'll be somewhere north of 138 million on an additional, call it 4 million worth of shares coming in.
Okay, I see.
That'll be the current flow.
Okay. So, Mike, what's your vision for the company over the next 2 to 3 years? Assuming everything everything works out, is on track, where do you see CellCube 2-3 years from now?
Listen, look, the market, as I mentioned in the beginning, is evolving. The applications of energy storage in the last couple of years, and this is a very immature industry, it's only been a few years of actual use of energy storage at a grid level. And that's been mostly for frequency regulation, balancing frequency of the grid itself. And that's been through the use of shorter-term lithium-based batteries, you know, up to 2 hours, maybe 3, maybe 4 tops. But the entire market's now evolving into longer-term duration, using 4, 6, and 8 hour storage. And that's exactly what our product is designed to deliver. So our vision for this company is literally to colonize every electricity market on the globe with the CellCube energy storage systems.
How big do you see this potential market for CellCube?
Yeah, I mean, for CellCube, if we went out to on a 3 and 5 year projection, if we could really realize on this, you're talking a multi-billion-dollar business, and that's based not just on the revenues of selling the units themselves, but also because we intend to lease the electrolyte solution that is the key ingredient in the batteries themselves to create a revenue stream for the purposes of bringing down the capital costs for our customers so that they have an option to continuously release the use of the battery through the electrolyte solution. And I just mentioned that because, one, it creates a long-term revenue stream, but two, it's the nature of the vanadium electrolyte that it doesn't degrade. It essentially lasts forever, and we can see that already that's proven out over its 10-year life. But in the context of a leasing plan, that means you can really deliver an asset that's like a piece of infrastructure to a client, and that'll last 20, 25 years. In fact, the system itself will probably wear out before the electrolyte solution does. So we're gonna try to keep that on our balance sheet as a very valuable asset, and to have the ability to release the battery systems to our clients.
Huh. Now, what's the solution? What percentage of the total price of that system does it make up? I think you said it's about $300,000, roughly U.S. dollars for the unit.
Yeah, $300 or $400 U.S. just for the unit itself. Now, typically, the electrolyte solution, and of course, the cost of the vanadium going up, it's going to depend somewhat on the cost of vanadium. But as a component, the other thing that it depends on is we can scale up the size of these systems by simply adding more of the vanadium electrolyte solution. So if you do a larger scale system and you need more vanadium electrolyte, it's going to have a sliding scale as to the percentage it makes up. But say it's probably from 40 to 60% of the cost of a system itself.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's substantial.
And again, one of the ways we plan to address the price of vanadium in two respects. One, by maintaining some ownership and offtake in connection with the vanadium property we already own. And two, by providing a leasing option for the client or the customers, which means at the outset, their capital costs are reduced because they can avail themselves to a leasing option. So we'll price in the vanadium by reference to the lease.
Okay. Now, can you tell us about your background and some of the other key members of the
Sure.
team?
Yeah. Sometimes it's embarrassing, but I started out my career as a lawyer. But I have not practiced law for a number of years now. And most recently, I was working in the private equity group of Sprott Inc. Sprott is a well-known Canadian alternative asset manager. with a focus on resources. In that group, I was a PE fund manager focused on renewable generation. And Sprott actually is a investor in CellCube, and it was in the context of Sprott assessing CellCube as a potential investment that my discussion started with the company, and it seemed like a very good, strong, and natural fit, which led me to joining as the CEO in June of this year.
Uh-huh. And now you mentioned Sprott is one of the investors. Do you have any other strategic investors in CellCube?
Yeah, Goodman & Company, also another Canadian asset manager. They are invested as well. There's a handful of smaller boutique shops that have holdings, but they're not nearly as significant. Beyond that, we get to a pretty wide retail base.
Okay. Now,
high volume too. High volume trading. And,
right.
A lot of liquidity on the stock.
Right. Now, the CellCube seems like the story has multiple moving parts. Do you think that the story is fully understood by the investment community? And if not, what is it that they're missing and that they need to take into consideration?
Yeah, I think you have to look at the individual components, the vanadium resource itself, the fact that we have a really robust switchgear business that stands alone, that is not dependent on sales of the energy storage systems, that is and will be revenue producing. I think that's probably one of the greatest missing components of the valuation on the business. And then finally, just on the energy storage business itself, the sheer robustness of the size of our sales pipeline, that these sales are coming and they're expected to be large. I think if you make sort of an individual analysis of each of the three key components of the business, adding them together, if you assess them on an individual basis, you have a much stronger valuation overall for the company.
Okay. So is there anything else that you want to cover, which we may have missed?
Well, part of the big picture to this is that this energy storage itself is absolutely critical right now. You only need to take headlines from the last few weeks, such as the UN panel on climate change, to see that we are part of a very, very large trend. And that is the decarbonization of the planet and the complete electrification of the planet. And you have to have energy storage as a component of that. And we would argue you've got to have long-term energy storage as a component of that massive trend, 4, 6, and 8 hour storage. And that's where we're targeted. That's where we're perfectly positioned. And that's where our track record really comes into play as to the proof and maturity of the technology. So it's really the right product at the right time. And we really welcome people to come check us out and feel free to contact us if you'd like any further information.
Okay. Well, on that note, Mike, I would like to thank you, and we look forward to following the company's developments in the months ahead.
That's great. Thanks very much for having me.